tapu, hare mai ki kone.
Morena, it's Karen and Elijah here. We coordinate and facilitate communities that apprentice under Jesus together.
That's right, we're the lead pastors of Unite.
That's what we do.
These neighbourhood churches form the extended family known as Unite Church.
We desire to grow as apprentices of Jesus according to the Bible by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Devoted to God and Jesus with one another.
Showing the world the love of God.
Brilliant. Nice. Let's dive into some themes from Luke chapter 21 and 22, which we have been reading together as neighbourhood churches this week. If you're looking to follow along to our Bible plan, you can find it on our website, unitechurch.org.nz.
Nice.
So here we are, Karen.
Here we are.
Nearing the end of the Gospel of Luke.
Ooh.
What has Jesus been doing through this narrative? What has he been doing with his time, eh? The old Jesus. Jesus has spent all of this time enacting the coming kingdom. A kingdom that tips the ways of the world on its head. A kingdom that is free and for the outsider. He has been speaking in parables that bring commentary to the miracles, wonders, and actions he has been doing. These parables are not told to give a moral or ethical teaching, and they are not told to make things clear. In fact, Jesus tells us time and time again the very opposite is true.
Mm.
Parables are like hidden treasures ready and waiting for those with open hearts. Parables are told to reveal to those who want it what the kingdom of heaven is like, God's intended reality, something we can often lose sight of in a broken world. The parables are not about us, first and foremost. They are about the kingdom of God. He lays it out and then invites us to decide whether we want to be a part of it or not.
Mm.
Throughout all of Luke, Jesus invites his audience to wonder, what is true life? What are we living for? What is the condition of our hearts? What is the end goal of life? What does God desire for us? Jesus invites us to consider the soil of our hearts and the goals of our lives.
Mm.
What's it all for? What are we racing after? And he invites us to consider the ways of God, to lay down our ways in our hearts and with our lives over and over again, and in their place to cling to the ways of Jesus, to recognize and give weight to Jesus as Lord of our hearts.
Mm.
A good Lord, a kind Lord, a true Lord. Jesus who is Lord of all creation along with Father and the Spirit.
Mm.
And then we come to the Last Supper. And Jesus walks out the heart of God as servant king. As he talks of greatness, he lays down his own. As he talks of service, he kneels to serve those he created. As he lays down his own life, he calls us to lay down ours as well. He was separated from the Father in his death so that we would not have to be in ours. And as we follow him to his cross, we are made like him. Church, live out the kingdom of heaven. Keep the soil of your hearts good and open to the Holy Spirit. Cling to Jesus. Join with him in trusting the Father. Accept his grace and walk in it. And allow his supernatural true love to increase in your hearts.
Mm.
Let him be Lord. Give him everything again. And care for the things he cares for this is the kingdom of heaven.
That's really great. Just when you were listing all those things there, I was just thinking like, that sounds like the life, you know?
Mm.
That sounds like what we were designed to do.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. So between Luke 21, verse 5, all the way through to the end of the chapter, Jesus is dialoguing about the destruction of the temple and the signs of the end times. This comes from his disciples enjoying what the temple looks like, its beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. After Jesus makes it clear that it won't last, the disciples then go on to ask how and when they will know. Now, some temple history for you from...
Thanks, Karen.
Dr. Karen. I'm not a doctor. The temple was originally rebuilt by Zerubbabel and Ezra, but greatly expanded and improved by Herod. It was the center of Jewish life for almost 1,000 years. The temple was so revered that it was customary to swear by the temple, and speaking against the temple could be considered blasphemy.
Yikes.
King Herod more than doubled the Temple Mount area, increasing it to about 36 acres, or 150,000 square meters.
That's a lot of temple.
That's a lot. Herod's rebuilding work started in 19 BC and was only completed in AD 63, taking more than 80 years. It was finished only 7 years before it was destroyed. Womp womp. The temple wasn't just big, it was also beautiful. The Jewish historian, what's his name again?
Josephus.
Josephus, I want to say Josephus, that's not it, said that the temple was covered on the outside with gold plates that were so brilliant that when the sun shone on them, it was blinding to look at. Where there was no gold, there were blocks of marble of such pure white that from a distance, travellers thought there was snow on the Temple Mount. And as great as the temple was, Jesus never hesitated to claim that he was greater than the temple. For many Jews of that day, the temple had become an idol. It began to mean more to the people than God himself did. And that's always a very dangerous place to be. Mm-hmm. So we see again, Jesus speaking countercultural, speaking the kingdom of God and heaven rather than what we see right in front of us on earth. As Jesus is talking about what will happen on earth, what signs will occur and the destruction that is inevitable, there are some gold nuggets that we can hold on to throughout all of this. In verse 19, he says, "Stand firm and you will win life." That is a pretty great reason to stand. While all the hard things in life are happening around you and to you and to the people you love, will you stand firm and receive the greatest gift of all, which is life? Mm-hmm. In verse 28, he says, "Stand up and lift your heads because your redemption is drawing near." He's calling us to get up. Look up, because again, the greatest gift of all is right here, right now, and it is life, eternal life, life with him forever, and it starts now. And this is the clincher. Puts a lot of things into perspective here on earth. Verse 33, he says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." His words are forever. Do you know what his words are? What has he been talking to you about recently? And there are so many more in this chapter alone that Jesus says, "Be on watch, do not be frightened, make up your mind not to worry." Do we, as communities of faith, apprentices of Jesus, believe the words he says to be true and practice them together?
Mm. And do we know the story he is telling?
Yeah.
Because he's written that in his word.
Yeah.
Do we know the story he's asking us to trust and walk out? Mm. We lose sight of the story, we lose sight of our part in it. Mm. Which leads us to these questions to consider as we share together, remembering that the Holy Spirit leads us. We can trust him to be there with us. In a casual environment, we know there's also a sacred space because the Holy Spirit is within us.
Yeah.
And in the space that we share as we korero.
Yeah, right. Tahi, retell in our own words, what is happening in this passage?
Speak with the context, what did the author intend? Just have some time to go, what do we think is going on? How does this fit in the story? Rua, what is God wanting to show us as we read this passage? Where do we sense the Spirit leading? How is he revealing himself?
And Dodo, sorry, what is our response personally and collectively?
Mm-hmm. If you want to begin tithing, partner financially, want to get in contact or interested in Neighbourhood Church Rhythms, you can contact us via unitechurch.org.nz.
This video is available in podcast form anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Also on Sunday, December the 11th, another reminder because I know you need it. We have another all-in, Christmas dinner for all of our Unite Neighbourhood Churches, plus those on your heart to invite. To come together as one. We're meeting from 4 to 6 at the Unite Hall. We'll sing carols together, pray together, and share kai together. Come along and think about who you can invite to share community and the love of Jesus with.
It's great. Like we tell our children, God is good and he made us good, and so we can trust in his goodness.
We can. We're praying for you in the love of Jesus Christ. Aroha nui.